You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 326. Today is March 13th, 2016, and my name is Hamilton. No Stevie tonight, but I am joined by Curtis. And Curtis, let's get to it. On tonight's show, we'll talk about hot starts for Malik Smith and Ozzie Albies. We'll try to guess who could surprise us by breaking camp with the big club, and we'll do some spring training predictions. But first, let's talk about the most important wrist on the Braves. So, Curtis, on January 21st, an interview with DOB of the AJC, David asked Freddie, was a recent injection in your wrist, was it in a different area than the previous series of injections you got during the season? Is that why it's worked better this time? And surprising to me, Freddie said, you know, I had two components to the injury in June. I have the pain on the top of my wrist, and that's where I've been getting all these platelet-rich plasma injections and all that stuff put in, because that's where I was having pain on the top of my wrist, and that's why it took so long. And then when it got cleared up, I was weak on the left side of the wrist, and that flared up again when I came off the DL, and that's what started hurting again, that impingement area. And he's actually had an impingement, whatever that means, on the left side of his wrist since 2009. And he says that every year he usually gets a cortisone shot at the end of the year, and he's good, but because he had two different injuries, that's why it took so long for this one to heal. But by all counts, Freddie's been feeling great, and everyone says that the wrist is looking good. And then fast forward to Friday, Freddie strikes out, removes himself from the game with pain in his hand and top of his wrist. So, Curtis, with all that context, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you about Freddie's wrist for this season?
Well, I feel like there's two questions here before I give you my rating.
Okay.
There's like the short term on his wrist, and there's a long term on his wrist. And I think the short term, it sounds like it's fine. He almost hit a home run today. He said he didn't really feel any pain. He's just going to take a normal day off. But he knew that it wasn't the wrist. I think you just said that when he felt the twinge, that he knew it was something in his hand and it was where he'd gotten the shot. So that's good news. I think that short term, it's okay. My concern is that it's a long term lingering problem. The wrists, obviously, with baseball players on so many levels, is a bad thing to have kind of nag you. And so he talks about how violent his follow-through is with his wrist. And so I think that this is just going to be something that's going to bother him. I think it's going to be something that's going to flare on him, and he's just going to have to – maybe they – monitor his time, and you know, they've got some other options for first base with Kelly Johnson, with Nick Swisher. If both of those guys end up making the team, people like that, that maybe they can give him some time so he's not out there and not stressing his wrists quite as much as he would if he was playing every day like he was a couple of seasons ago. But my nervousness on the long term is that what I'm doing? How nervous am I?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, I think you really talked about it, because I, you know, I think the short term, I'm not as nervous, but I agree. Longer term, for all the reasons you said, he put so much pressure on his wrist. When you have this impingement that he's had now for 7 years, it's, I can't see it getting better, right? And I, you know, your scenario makes sense to me, but we, in order for the Braves to win, I mean, they're building this franchise around Freddie. He's got to play a lot of games. And I am nervous about him for the long term. I'm nervous about this injury. I don't feel confident he's even going to play a full season this season, because he hasn't for the past three seasons, right? Or it feels like. And so I'm nervous. And if it was me, I would almost just take this season off and have surgery on it and get rid of that impingement, right? I mean, has he ever had surgery on his wrist? I think he's always just sort of waited for it to heal, right?
Yeah. And sort of I read somewhere it's like bones in his hand that are like grinding together or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to this than that. Yeah. And I mean, you can't have, and I know maybe we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but you can't have a guy who is going to hit your payroll for $22 million in a few years from now, who is Ryan Howard.
Yeah.
It was useless, other than the massive hold that he's putting on your payroll and in your lineup because he's not there. So yeah, I hadn't even thought about him taking the year off and having surgery.
That seems crazy, and certainly that's not on their radar. And he's been gearing up to come back, but I'm nervous that he's going to average 100 games a season or less for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Which would be brutal. To have made him the long-term commitment guy and then him not be able to be that guy.
Yeah.
That would be heartbreaking as a fan and for the franchise, really.
It would be. And it scares me. And I don't know if it ever will stop scaring me. Maybe a full season when he says he's fully back to health. But I don't know. But you're right. Today he looked good, even though he didn't get a hit, but he showed power. And so we'll just take it day by day, I guess. So let's move on to maybe some, before we move on to some nicer stuff, let's deal with just some potentially inconsequential stuff. So some releases from the bullpen this past week: David Carpenter, Kyle Kendrick, and Chris Volstad have all released this week. Any thoughts there? Any surprises there for you?
I guess I was a little surprised that they cut Carpenter loose so quick. But the Braves had more non-roster invitees and more of these guys in camp just to give them a shot and see if they could, mine gold anywhere. And, you see them starting to whittle a bunch of this stuff down. They've sent, obviously, a bunch of the youngsters down to the minor league camps, and I think they're just going to start cutting more of these guys loose. I think one is a courtesy to some of these guys, these older guys that come into camp, and give them the opportunity. Carpenter's already been picked up, I think, by the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick and Volstad were awful. And so I think it was clearly evident that they were not going to be able to contribute anything to any sort of plans you had to fill some spots with guys like that, that they just were not going to be viable. So no real issue. It has no impact on me whatsoever.
Yeah. And I was happy for Carpenter that they actually, it did seem like the deck was stacked against him. So for them to go ahead and do it early and as sort of a favor to him so he could get picked up was great. And yeah, I'm all in on the Chassin train for our Jules Chaykin for our for that spot that he was sort of battling Kendrick and Volstad for. Volstad, I remember facing Volstad. I always felt like there was Tuesday nights against the Marlins when it was like me and you and four other people there, but I remember facing Volstad. He's like 6'10", and he seems so just indomitable. He just could not beat him. And so I thought maybe there'd be lightning in the bottle there. But obviously not meant to be. And I'd be surprised if those guys got picked up anywhere, at least now. Maybe if someone goes down on another club or mid-year. But
It seems like I know it's still early and they're still working these things out, but it seems like they've got pretty much four guys with Chassin and with Bud Norris, with Whistler and Tehran. It seems like that those guys are kind of supplanting themselves as the four guys who are going to be at least the top four starters. And I don't think they need a fifth starter for a little while to start the season. And you've got Williams Perez that pitched well. So they've got some guys that can fill that fifth spot pretty easily. But it seems like those are the four guys at this point that are going to be the guys that are going to be the starters.
Yeah. And I don't want Kendrick and Volstad taking innings from young guys who could just use the seasoning. So,
and that's more what I think that part of this is too, is that they were using the first part of the spring training to, really run a bunch of guys out there to see if they could find anything. And now they're going to start gearing it more towards guys that are actually going to be on the team and guys that they're really
invested in.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. All right, so we've got three bright spots and then maybe one troubling spot with some of our performances so far. So let's start with Hector Olivera. So he is actually batting, as of yesterday, his batting average is .500. He's got 12 hits and 24 at-bats, one strikeout, two doubles, and the rest are all singles. So A good start, but not a lot of power. So what are your thoughts on Oliveira's start to the spring so far?
Well, it's good that he's hitting. I mean, I'm very excited about that. There were obviously some concerns that maybe had unfairly developed with his appearances at the end of the season last year and maybe some winter ball stuff. So it's great that he's hitting like this. I'll be curious to see once he starts to see starting pitching more, you know, some of these guys that get stretched out and they're more real games, how that impacts his batting average. But yeah, the power numbers, that makes me nervous because, excuse me.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Really
he's
nervous.
Supposed to be one of the guys that's going to be somewhat of a power source for us. And for him to show none of that, that's a little unsettling.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're, you know, in all the talk of him, there was, this is a guy who's going to hit 20 homers a season. So you certainly would have liked to have seen him show a little bit of power at this part. And I think, you know, I mean, the couple of doubles, but he's, you know, he's, it's not even like, and what it makes me nervous is that when the better pitching comes up, I think these singles go away and I'm afraid his average goes down. He hasn't had a walk. His OBP is actually below his batting average, which is sort of a strange thing to see. And his slugging is not great. I mean, it's 583, but it's not, again, not hugely above his batting average of 500. So I think it's good. I mean, last year we were nervous that he wasn't going to get hit, so it's good that he's making contact. But I would like to be see him hitting the ball better and with a little bit more power because I'm not sure if it's all of a sudden going to come. But anyway, this season's a wash. What are you going to get with a 31-year-old? Sort of left field. All right, but then we've got some good stuff going on with some of our younger players. So 23-year-old Malik Smith, off to a hot start, 304 batting average, 333 OBP, and a 739 slugging percentage. So a couple triples, three doubles, seven hits, five runs, having a good spring. What do you make of Malik's start so far?
It's very exciting, and I think he will. I think it's kind of lending itself that he's going to be up here sooner rather than later. I still don't think he's going to make the team out of spring training, but I think that it will not be long before he makes his grand appearance in Atlanta. So yeah, it's very exciting. Very, very anxiously awaiting his arrival in Atlanta.
I so much so too. I mean, he is our leadoff hitter of the future, I believe, and that he has power is just great. It's just great. I love his passion. I love his aggression. You know, I wasn't too worried about his little run in with Freddie about getting benched because he tried a splash bunt. I like that. He's sort of ahead of himself a little bit. I'm nervous that there's not really a slot for him. I mean, guess if he does come up, you know, and you're right, he's not going to make the club just because I don't think they want him to be sitting on the bench behind Inciarte and Oliveira and Markakis. But when there is a slot for him, it's going to be very exciting for him to be on the team. I agree. I mean, where do you think if he were to just force their hand, let's say he doubles and he's hitting 400 with power, you know, doing everything right. Where's the spot on him? Spot for him on the team?
Maybe you move Oliveira to third and put him in the outfield. That's obviously an issue that, and I mean, Markakis is obviously not a long term thing. I think he's only got a couple of years left, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try and move Markakis. I think that they've probably already been shopping Markakis, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved at the deadline this year. And then you open up a spot for him. So
right, that makes sense. So going even younger, our 19-year-old phenom shortstop from Curaçao, Ozzy Albies. So he's hitting 350, a homer, seven hits and 22 plate appearances, or 350 batting average, 409 OBP, 500 slugging. Thoughts on him?
Also very exciting. He made some great – he's made – I saw at least one spectacular defensive play that he made. Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, that they're either going to be at the top of the lineup, those two guys in our future, or maybe one of them is our eighth batter, which is very exciting that we would actually have someone batting for the Braves in the eighth spot who could actually do something other than be the first out for the pitcher behind him to become the second out. So to have added added dimension to the lineup where we have more complementary players that can contribute, it's very exciting. And I mean, I've always been a fan more of kind of slashing baseball and moving guys and speed and things like that. I mean, I always think that's fun. Obviously, you want guys hitting home runs as part of that. But, you know, I think that the teams that are really interesting put a lot of pressure on the defense and things like that. And he is certainly a guy that can do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, both with Maddux and Ozzie, maybe you get away with Oliveira not having as much power, right? Because you've got speed and you can be, you know, a little bit more aggressive. Yeah, I'm really excited by him, too. I mean, listen, this is what we want. Right. Spring training early on, we obviously are not playing for this season. I mean, you know, you can say all you want that we're going to impress it and maybe we'll win more games than we did last season. And that's good. This is what we want to see. Right. We want to see Dansby. We want to see Maddux and Ozzie showing a lot of promise and getting us excited. And they are completely delivering on that. So in terms of that, just generating enthusiasm for the long term, they couldn't be doing better as far as I'm concerned. So I'm excited to see, and obviously, and you mentioned this for Oliveira, the better pitching is coming, right? Guys are getting stretched out. They're going to really start meaning it when they pitch, and we'll see. And I bet they regress a little bit, but it's still, how can you not be excited by this? Speaking of exciting, So Tehran, our ace, I guess, by default, has had one start. It gave up three hits, two earned, including a homer, which plagued him last year. So, I mean, we did just say pitchers aren't really stretched out. They're not trying stuff. So you can't put too much into us. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Tehran's start? And what does that left you, where does that leave you in terms of your feelings about it?
Well, that obviously is an issue. I think that he gave up 27 home runs last year, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you hate to see – I mean, it is his first start, so I can't put too much into it. We seem to have this conversation every spring about how meaningful these games are and what to take from them and all that kind of stuff. But you would hope that this is something that at some point he's going to get away from because – there were so many games last year, especially on a team that maybe is going to struggle to score, and you give up home runs, and that sometimes can amplify their offense and put some crooked numbers up really quickly, and then, you know, with one swing of the bat, so you're not really making them work for it so much. So, yeah, I'm not taking too much into it as I say all that, but I hope that it's a trend that does not plague him again this year.
Yeah, we certainly... Absolutely. He's not even trying to pitch. He's just getting stretched out. But it would have been better if that had not happened. That's the only way to look at it, right? Certainly coming off of last season, a down season, you're really hoping to sort of see what you get with him. And I guess, we put too much into spring training, wanting to sort of see what we've got right now. And when a guy who has problems giving up homers all last season and his first, I think it was the first inning even, gives up a homer, it's just like, oh dear, right? So let's hope he just wanted to get all those bad pitches out of his system, and it's uphill from here, or downhill, wherever the good way is. In the park, yes, towards the mound, in the infield. All right, so let's do some quick projections here, and then one sort of far out there prediction. So there's 21 spring training games left. Some of those are split squad games. But let's do some projections. So right now, Freddie has two homers. How many homers do you think Freddie Freeman has by the end of spring training, Curtis?
I'm going to go 7.
Oh, all right. I said 6. Yes, one less. Let's hope. After all that wrist talk. All right, Markakis got his first homer of the season, which has him at 1. So he's on pace to match not what he had last season.
His Braves career.
His Braves career, Mark. So where do you think Markakis ends up by the end of this season, the spring training?
You're going to be shocked at this. 3.
Oh, that's exactly what I have.
Maybe you're not going to be shocked by that.
I'm not going to be shocked. I mean, I got, in some of we talked to Coppy, and he just talked about we're going to see a different Markakis, and he's fully back from his injury. And, a neck injury obviously is very debilitating. I really was ready just to see a lot more pop, but I'll believe it when I see it, and I don't know if I'm going to believe it. Not holding out hope there. All right, so to our friend Robert. So we talked about that he had 2 doubles and his lack of the extra base hit. How many? So with 2 extra base hits as it stands now, Curtis, where do you think he ends up at the end of spring training for extra base hits?
8.
8. Wow, things are flipped around here. I said 5.
I think he has 3 more in him. As the pitching gets better, I think it's going to catch up to him, and I think he's going to be a singles machine. He's going to be the Markakis of last year.
Yeah, I see that. I bet he hits a couple home runs. I bet he has a couple of doubles. There's got to be something in there.
All right. I hope so. I'm feeling cynical about it. All right. On positive side, right now, Ender Inciarte has an OBP of 423. Do you think he ends up spring training higher or lower than that? And what do you think it is?
I think it's going to be right around that area. I wrote down 425, so that's just slightly higher than where he's at.
Yeah, I think he's going to be low fours. I think he'll be lower by just a bit, but just barely. So I'm right there with you. And then let's talk about Ibar, or Akbar, as Steve likes to call him. Right now he's at 440. What do you think he ends up with for OBP?
I think it's going to be about the same as Inciarte. I think it's going to be about 425.
Yeah, I agree. Lower as well. I think he's flying a little bit hot right now. All right, so let's predict. Let's see. Let's look at starting pitching. So you talked about that we have, I think we have our 4 starting pitching. So like you mentioned, Norris and Chacin, Tehran, Whistler. So which, coming out of camp, who do you think has the best ERA and who do you think has the worst ERA? And not necessarily of those 4, of all the starting pitching candidates. Who breaks camp with the worst?
For the best, I'm going to go with Bud Norris for some reason.
Wow.
For the worst, I'm going to go with Manny Benuelos.
Oh, good. So I had the same for the worst, and then I thought I was going to get ridiculed for even saying that he was a potential starter. There's so many of them, but I agree. Right now his ERA is at like 18 maybe, has not had a great start. So I say Benuelos is the worst. I say Chacin has the best ERA coming out of camp, and he, as it stands now, is leading the pack of our potential starters.
0.
Yes, exactly. So I think he's going to have a 0 all the way through camp and the rest of the season.
That would be impressive.
Yes. All right, and let's end it on this. So, Curtis, predict the unexpected, awesome performance that will start a quote-unquote, maybe he's on the big club to break camp narrative. Who's your guy?
Well, it's not the most exciting position in the world, but it would basically be our backup utility player, and I think that I'm not 100% sold on Gordon Beckham.
Oh, that's too bad.
Despite him being a former Wildcat like the two of us and a former Bulldog like myself, I think that the Braves can say they have a player that perhaps can perform a little better and is far exceeding his spring, and that is Reed Brignac. And boy, is that exciting to roll off the tongue. But Brignac can play outfield. He can play short, second, third. So he's versatile. He's having a tremendous spring at the plate. He's batting 400. He's actually has hit a home run. He's got several doubles. So I think that he doesn't have nearly the major league experience that Gordon Beckham does, but he's also not getting paid nearly as much as, not that Gordon Beckham's getting a lot, but I just think that they maybe offer Gordon Beckham to go to the minor leagues and he maybe turns them down. And they stick with Reed Brignac.
Yeah, I like that. But I mean, it's a hard one to say, you know, because for the players like Albies, Malik Smith, Rio Ruiz, Dansby, they're, none of those guys are making the club because they are our future. And like I said earlier, we don't want them up here riding the pine, as it were. So they're just not making the club. And then we also have a lot of people who are just sort of going to make the club. Bonifacio, Swisher, Bourne. Right, a lot of those guys. So I don't think there's a lot of room for a surprise. I like Brignac. So I don't know if I necessarily believe this, but if I had to pick someone, I'm going to go with the little guy known as the natural, Jeff Francoeur.
Oh, so he's nice.
He's hitting, and maybe that's not a surprise. I don't know, but he's hitting over 300. He has a homer. He's getting a lot of at-bats. He has 23 at-bats in 9 games. Only shot twice. Only once when he was in the on-deck circle. I think he's our backer. To break that, coming out of camp.
So whose place does he take?
I think he's going to just be the guy who gives Oliveira or Marquez a deal. I don't know. No, I think he – I think Bourne or Swisher, I don't know. They're not surprising. If there was going to be someone surprising, I think it would be Francoeur. Maybe – I don't know. Bourne or Swisher.
Yeah,
maybe.
And there's other guys that, like, I keep forgetting about Bonifacio, that he's floating around and he's having a good spring too. But I think it's interesting how old the Braves are going to be this year.
Really old. I mean, I was trying to be, you know, once you start going around and saying, okay, let's say that our starting lineup is Garcia, Ibar, Peterson, Freeman, right? So your utility outfielders are Kelly Johnson, Bonifacio, Daniel Castro?
No, he got sent down.
He did. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you're talking about Michael Bourne, you're talking about Swisher, you're talking about Bonifacio, Reed Brignac is
27, I think. Yeah.
No, he's born in 86, so he's 30.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of
Gordon Beckham is almost 30. Well, he got sent down too. Beckham is almost 30. So many of these players that are going to be part of, I mean, you can't, the catching crew is, you know, they're celebrating their, sesquicentennial, season in the major leagues here. So it's interesting that there's so much young talent on this team and that the team that they're going to trot out. And I mean, basically because they know that there's not going to be anybody watching the team, but it's going to be these, and maybe like once the middle of the season, once the trade deadline hits, that it's a complete flip and all the old guys are gone and it's all young guys from that point forward. And maybe that's the plan.
Maybe, you know, they flip Bonifacio if he continues to do well on to a contender.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it goes, guys like that are important to
fill Uribe, Kelly Johnson, you know, right. Those guys. I mean, Kelly Johnson started a World Series game. Yeah. So
we talked about how terrible Jace Peterson has been this spring, but I guess that can take for another show.
Yeah, I mean, the question is he the definite starting second baseman, right? I mean, how bad does it have to be for him before those questions come up? And it really goes back to the end of last season, right?
I mean, who is the – you're talking about Bonifacio or somebody starting in front of him?
Kelly Johnson.
Reed Brignac.
Jeff Francoeur.
I love Francoeur as a second baseman. All right, so here's a trivia question for you.
All right.
Because we were going to do some trivia about who our best Braves lineup is, but we decided we'd push that for another show. So they asked this question the other day. So it went Terry Pendleton to Chipper Jones at third base starting opening day third baseman. Who were the two opening day third basemen prior to Terry Pendleton? And I'll just leave that out there, and our fans can submit. I will tell you, you're not going to get it before I decide I'm hanging up on this show.
Okay.
We'll talk about it when we
Biff Pokoroba?
Yes. And somebody threw Biff Pokoroba out there, and I just wanted to say, He was a catcher.
I just like to say his name.
Sure.
Yeah, I will never guess it. I can't even think. I mean,
and I thought of the really obscure one. I didn't think of the other guy because he really didn't play much infield for us. So there's a hint for you. All right. Move on.
Nice.
What are we talking about? Are we done?
We're done. So that's the show. So let's hear your responses to Curtis's trivia question on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk, or go to our Facebook page and hit us up on our Facebook page. You can come to our website, www.atlantabaseballtalk.com, and leave a comment in our comment section.
And no, there is no prize.
Yes,
we don't have any sort of things to give away here. This is done
a family wrench, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube. And that's the show. So we'll be back for another spring training show before the season starts, and then we'll be back weekly once the season kicks off. So, Curtis, good job by you, buddy. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves.
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.